on this youth Sabbath, this young adult Sabbath, there's a single word which I would like us all to ponder. It's a word that many young people begin to hear spoken about them very early in age. It's a word that can also be encouraging while at the same time a little bit scary. It's a word that thankfully in the United States and many first or second world affluent countries, it's a word that still is achievable. We're very blessed in the United States. Many other countries are certainly blessed. Many other nations are not blessed because, unfortunately, in some circumstances, in some countries, no matter how hard you work, there is only a limit to how much you can actually progress from a physical condition in life. It's a word that represents dreams of success and greatness early in one's life. And it's also a word that may conjure solemnity over what could have been. What could have been. The word is potential. Potential. Potential is having or showing the capacity to develop into something in the future. You may hear your parents say or others say that you have great potential. You have potential to be A or B or C or whatever it might be in your life. Well, God does tell us, and we've also heard this in some of our messages already, God tells us in Scripture what our ultimate potential is. So I want to make sure we're clear about that first. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Here in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." Huge potential. "For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure." So that kind of lays out what this huge potential is. Ultimately, our potential is to be like Jesus Christ. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 5. It says here in Revelation 1 verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So it also talks a little bit more about our potential. Potential of our young people is to become a king, to become a priest. You might say, well, you know, that's not really part of what I'm looking at, but we'll dig a little bit deeper into this. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. You know, whether or not we want to be a king, whether or not we want to be a priest, ultimately, that is what our potential is. That is what Jesus Christ are forming and shaping us into. It says here in Revelation 5 verse 9, "And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us from God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." So that's our ultimate potential. A part of being a part of God's church is to be able to understand through life what that potential is and what we need to do as we grow up in the church, what things we can do in this life to be able to achieve that ultimate potential. To be a king and a priest reigning with God on the earth is our ultimate potential. And with that as our ultimate potential, there are many things in this life that we can strive to become which will add to our abilities to rule in God's kingdom. If it's not a talent or a job or a skill that is contrary to God's law or God's principles, becoming or striving after your dream your goal, to fulfill your potential, to reach after the skills and the talents that you have, means that you'll develop skills and talents that God will be able to use in the future when you are a king and when you are a priest in the future. So the question is, whatever it might be, are you ready to fulfill your potential? Are you ready to go after your potential? So what do you want to be when you grow up? What course are you on? For us as adults, are we still striving towards our dreams, striving towards our potential? And as children or young adults, although many adults may look at you and speak highly of your potential, what you'll be in the future, what is most important is what do you believe your potential to be? Particularly our 20s and teens and 20 years old, those in that range, what do you really believe your potential is? For our younger ones who are singing in the choir, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because if whatever that dream is, whatever that vision is, whatever that purpose is, if it's within the parameters of God's law, then God will be able to use that talent that you develop in this life in the future kingdom of God. So what is your potential? What do you want to be? I have 5 points on reaching your potential. But the consistent theme that I want us all to remember is that whatever that potential is, make sure that you're pursuing it within God's parameters. Within God's parameters. To desire to be a drug dealer because they make a lot of money is kind of outside of the parameters. Right? Kind of on the outside. So you need to pick a goal. You need to have a dream. You need to pursue something that is within God's parameters. So the first point is this. The first point is to find your dream. Find your dream. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, that dream of adventure, that passion for discovery, that desire to reach your potential, as long as it is within God's parameters, go for it. Go for it. Dream big. Think about what it is that you want to accomplish. Go with me over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 1. It's very important that when you think about your dreams, you think about what it is you want to accomplish, you think about what you want to be when you grow up, whatever that career, whatever that goal might be, that we keep this particular scripture in mind. This is one of those hallmark scriptures that all of you, whatever your age is, however young you might be, should be able to keep in mind. It says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come when you're 22 or 23, and the years draw near when they say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" God says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Stay within the parameters. Go after your dreams. You know, Jonathan Wine mentioned that, he's into the gaming world. You know, he said, "I had to search to figure out how I was going to connect this gaming thing that I love, I have a passion for, into something spiritual." He did a wonderful job of connecting that. That is what God wants all of us to do. What is your dream? Find that dream. Just ask, an older adult, because the years go quickly. Ask one of the adults, what was their potential in life? Have they reached their potential? Did they lose track of their dream? What advice could they give you on pursuing your dream as a youth, as a young person? So find that dream, whatever it is. The first point is to find that dream. Pursue it within God's parameters. Point number two is this. Take advantage of your youth. Take advantage of your youth. I want to have two lessons here, one from Jeremiah and one from David. Go with me over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Take advantage of your youth, particularly as you move into teenage years and you start to maybe think about what it is that you want to do in life. Nurses, doctors, astronauts, you name it, whatever it might be, firemen, whatever that is that you want to pursue, take advantage of your youth. Realize that God respects the youth. He respects the young folk that has a dream. And he wants you to put your arms around that and to go after it. Look at what Jeremiah said. He says, verse 6, Jeremiah 1, verse 6, it says, "Then I said, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Those are very encouraging words. Those are very encouraging words that God placed within Scripture to give our young people courage about pursuing your dream, going after your dream, whatever it is that you want to pursue. If it's within God's parameters, realize that God will be with you. But strive to stay within his parameters. A lesson from David. Go with me over to 1 Samuel. Another young man. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 33. It says here, "And Saul said to David, You are not able to go against the Philistines to fight with them, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." This is that story, that wonderful story about David and Goliath. Now Saul says, look, buddy, you're a little young, you're a little short, you're a little unskilled. I think you better, just think about what you're doing here. But look what David says. "But David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it. And delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by the beard, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, The Lord who delivered me from the paws of the lion, from the paws of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you." So that's a big deal. David knew that he had been living his life within God's parameters. The other thing to realize is that David was a shepherd. He was a shepherd, right? He's out with the sheep. He's out with his rod, his staff, keeping them out of danger, keeping predators away, etc. Who knew that those skills that David had as a shepherd would be used as a king? He was a shepherd. He's stepping in sheep poo-poo all day long. He's running after this, keeping the flies off. And, who thought that those skills and those talents God would be able to use of David to make him into a great king? So don't underestimate what you're doing. Don't underestimate your dream. Don't underestimate what you are pursuing. The key is make sure it's within God's parameters. If God can teach a shepherd how to become a king, think about what he can do with you. Think about what God is willing to do with you. You see, there are skills and abilities that you can learn in your youth that are transferable to other areas in your life. So don't discount your dream. Go after your dream. Point number three is to get wise counsel. Get wise counsel. Several Proverbs, you can just jot these down. I'll just read through them quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." So one very important part about pursuing your dream, about reaching your potential, is to ask folk. Seek wise counsel, and then listen to what is being delivered, what's being provided. Psalms 12, verse 15. Psalms 12, verse 15 says this: "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So this is a warning. Be careful about, you know exactly everything that you need to do in order to be everything you need to be, and you don't need to talk with anybody. Right? Kyle made mention of that. Scripture says, be careful about that. The fool is right in his own eyes. Get wise counsel. Ask other people. And then heed that wise counsel. Psalms 19 verse 20 says, "Listen to the counsel and receive instructions, that you may be wise in your latter days." Wise in your latter days. You see, there are things that you can do as a young person that can make your latter days much more difficult. Much, much more difficult. You know, we don't have to mention drugs or premarital sex or et cetera, all the things that are out there. You have to be able to control your passions, your desires, with wisdom in order to protect your investment in your latter days. One of the wonderful things that our young people have to their advantage right now is that you're living or just beginning to distance yourself from your parents' home. It's a blessing to be able to pursue your dreams with a huge cushion around you, of parents who love you, provide financial support, emotional support, a place over your head, pay for your education, all of those types of things. That's a huge blessing. That is a huge investment into your future. And oftentimes we don't realize how huge an investment that is until later in life. If I had only. One of the things you want to try to do as a young person is to look at the different circumstances and say, I don't want, after this event, after this party, after whatever the circumstance is, to say, if I had only. Because if I had only means that you have jeopardized something later in life. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, plans are established by counsel, but the wise counsel wage war. Plans are established by wise counsel. So as you begin to go into college in particular, as you begin to think about your future career, you have to spend the time to plan. You just can't say, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and then, okay, now what do I do? What is your plan? Have you written things down? Have you worked out a strategy? Have you reviewed that with your parents? Have you reviewed that with other counselors? Plans are established by counsel. It says, but wise counsel wage war. What it's saying is that after you have those plans established, after you really have that down and you know exactly what you're going to do, go after it. Go after it with energy. Go after it with effort. Go after it with rigor. Pursue it. Pursue it aggressively. You know, one of the most important things is, you know, how do you spend your free time? If that is your goal, if your dream is to become, you know, a physician, your dream is to become, whatever it might be, spend your free time reading about it, spend your free time studying about it, spend your free time talking with other people about that career. Put yourself, totally immerse yourself into that career. It's amazing how much you'll learn outside of school, outside of the formal education. And then Proverbs 24, verse 6. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. There comes a point in time as you pursue your future, go through college, etc., where the battle shifts from your parents and becomes yours. Becomes yours. That's a little bit scary. But it becomes your battle, becomes your thing that you have to pursue. Becomes your vision. It becomes your responsibility. It's nothing like going off to college. You say, wow, I'm free. I don't have my parents here to tell me anything. I can stay out as long as I want. If they call me, I can go off into the corner of the party and say, yeah, I'm just waking up. Okay, Mom, bye. Yeah, all right, let's keep going. You know, that, we know it happens. We know that that happens. But there comes a point in time where the partying transitions over to you really having to wage war yourself. What will be the end of it all? What are you thinking about? What are you planning? And then it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The multitude, many people. Don't have time to get into this, but make sure you get wise counsel. Unfortunately, a lot of young people figure the best counseling they can get on how to deal with circumstances, how to deal with problems, how to deal with romantic issues, etc., is from their buddy or from their girlfriend. That's not too wise. Maybe advice, but not counsel. Maybe an idea, but not counsel. But that's what oftentimes what young people do. You know, well, my buddy told me that I should, you know, yeah, not so much. Not so much. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The best place to start in attaining wise counsel with prayer, as I said, all of these points underline that you're doing it within God's parameters, that you have a very well-established prayer life. As you get into your teenage years, even as before preteens, you should be on your knees. You should be talking with God. Along with prayer, the best place to attain wise counsel is from your parents. I know that's hard to believe in some cases. That's the best place. Because the reality is, it's scary how much you, whether you like it or not, are like your parents. The DNA, whatever happens in that, kind of comes into you, and you're a combination of mama and daddy and the environment, et cetera. But there are characteristics. There are things that you will say, you know, in certain circumstances, where did that come from? I sound just like my mother. The best place to turn is through wise counsel. I know for me, raising my sons, two boys at the same time, one of the most scariest things for me was that somehow through DNA that they would do some of the stupid, reckless, in some cases godless things that daddy did. Oh, that used to frighten me. Hopefully, you know, I used to pray, Father, please don't let them do A, B, and C. Because I could see there's tenacities, there's personalities in them that are just like me. And it's a danger zone. Danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. I can say that it's been comforting to know that by and large, they have made their own list of stupid things. That they'll be able to tell their children not to do in the future. That's how life is. That's how life is. But that's why the most important person that they can turn to for wise counsel is the parents. They've been there. They probably know pretty much how it feels inside of you. They pretty much have an idea of what you're thinking about. Remember, they've seen you through God's blessings, most of our children. Your parents have seen you from an infant all the way up to whatever age you are. What greater counsel can you receive than from someone who loves you, who have watched you through that progression? You know, there are proclivities, there are tendencies which seem to pass from one generation to another, whether good or bad. It's your parents that understand that. you know, why in some families alcoholism goes from one generation to another generation to another generation. Sexual abuse from one generation to another generation to another generation. Right? Because your parents having God's Holy Spirit enlightens them, helps them, gives them the strength and the eyes to see. Oftentimes, more often than not, they can be able to stop that generation degeneration that happens because of God's Holy Spirit. What wisdom, what blessing that you can receive from your parents. Getting wise counsel from your parents will help you to avoid some of those tendencies, as well as to help you focus on your dream, focus on your talents, focus on your potential. What a blessing. Point number four. Point number four. Realize that your passion and your livelihood may be two separate things. Your passion and your livelihood may be two separate things. The bottom line is you have to earn a living somewhere along the line. You have to learn to earn a living somewhere along the line. Just do a word search sometime in your Bible on the word work. W-O-R-K, the word work. It's amazing how much is work, that word is mentioned in Scripture. When God says that man would have to work in order to earn a living, in order to have a decent existence, he wasn't kidding. He was not kidding. So whatever your passion is, don't think that, well, I can pursue my passion as whatever it is, and I don't have to work, I don't have to earn a living, and, you know, while I'm pursuing it. Sometimes you have to do both. Sometimes you have to do both. Go with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 is just a wonderful teaching here by the Apostle Paul, speaking about himself, his approach to work. In general, he's saying, you know what, I'm in a position in those prior scriptures where I can receive, I have the authority to receive help from the brethren. But in order to teach you an example, I'm going to work. Because it's very important that you understand how important work is, because there were some folks in the congregation that he was talking about here in Thessalonians that figured, you know, being idle, sitting back and doing nothing was good enough for them. And that was an issue. That was a problem. Drop it down here to verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." You have to earn a living somewhere along the line. It's great that you might want to pursue a life in the circus. That's okay. Or become a master juggler. That was one of the things that I wanted to do when I was young. I could actually stand on a basketball. I could actually juggle in one hand and balance a plate on a stick in the other. Just waiting for Ballins and Bailey. I'm waiting for them to call me. Well, there's a long line of folks ahead of me to pursue to get into the Barnum and Bailey circus. But I practically got to be pretty good at that. But at some point in time, I needed to eat. I realized I needed to work. Verse 11 says, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." There are some folks out there that figure that they're going to work. They're going to sit around and talk about people. They can do people watching. That's going to be their occupation. There's an issue with that. He said, now, verse 12, he said, "Now those who are such, we command and exhort through Jesus Christ our Lord that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." Those are some pretty strong words about working, about being employed, about getting the job. So when your parents say to you, look, you know, you're 29 years old, it's time for you to get out the house and get a job. They're saying that based on Scripture. They're saying that based on Scripture. Right? The idea is through, hopefully through the church, you understand before you're 29, 30, 42, 47, 50, that you have to work. That you have to work. You have to earn a living. There are some folks that don't learn that lesson by the time they're 50 plus, and we see that in society. Go with me over to John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4. It says here, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Notice that those are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. If Jesus Christ, who created everything, of all beings, would have the right to just sit back when he was on earth and cross his hands and says, all right, I'm just going to chill out and see what's happening here on my creation that I've made, because I've made everything here. I've made the air, made the moon, the stars, the grass, did everything, so I'm just going to sit back and just chill and see what's happening. He didn't do that. Jesus Christ says, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. And that's what we have to do. That's what you have to do as young people in pursuing your dreams. It may be a different path. You may have to take a little detour in order to earn a living while you pursue your dream. Just keep that in mind. Point number five is this. Count the cost. Count the cost. I know that most youth, many young adults, want to ultimately make good money, nice car, house, apartment, clothes, dresses, shoes, jewelry and more shoes, time and freedom and a few more shoes. You know, have all of those wonderful things and then a few more shoes. I understand that. But if that's your dream, the time to build that foundation, the time to lay that groundwork for your dreams is in your youth. In your youth. Because you can capitalize immensely when you're young on those dreams. So count the cost. Do your research. Go with me over to Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Do your research. Find out what education, investment, work, time, money, help from your parents will be necessary in order for you to pursue your dream, in order for you to reach your potential. It's important to do that, to sit down and count the cost. It says, for which of you, Luke chapter 14, verse 8, verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. So count the cost. Think about it. Strategize. Use a spreadsheet. Don't know how to use Excel? Come and see me. I can use Excel or others here. Someone here laughing. I can work an Excel spreadsheet. I can work Excel, probably like no other. So if you want to get help on figuring out your budget, money, what it might look like in the future investment, etc., stop over. Getting a good education is important in every culture. Counting the cost is a part of getting that education. Final scripture. Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. You see, there's nothing wrong with getting a good education, having those dreams of multiple shoes in your closet. The biggest decision that day is to try to figure out which one to put on. Or like my son Edwin, you know, bazillion bow ties. Not sure which one to wear. Let me just figure it out here. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with desiring to be rich or wealthy. According to Scripture, wealth comes, however, with additional challenges. But it's not impossible to follow God and to be wealthy at the same time. That's not impossible. But with wisdom, with counsel, God tells us here in the scripture we're about to read that you need to beware that it comes with some extra baggage. Pursue it if that's your dream. Count the cost. Do all those things. Get that education. But realize that you need to keep things in balance. Here, Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Notice that Jesus Christ did not say here that it was impossible. He said it was harder. You know, we're blessed to be here in the United States. Many other second world countries are blessed that there is an opportunity to have a dream, to pursue your potential, and to also accomplish the ability to have the physical possessions and things around you that one would want to enjoy. God says here, it comes with some additional things you need to be aware of. Verse 25, "When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" That's why under all of these points, it's important to make sure you pursue those within God's parameters. Pursue them within his parameters. Jesus Christ said it's hard for a rich man to follow the laws of God, to seek him as his head, to be obedient to him in every way, and thereby enter the kingdom of God. It can be difficult for a young person when they get that first job, get that first paycheck comes in, you know, $1,000, whatever else, to be able to control that spending. How often do young people say, "Well, you know, my parents did put me through college. They may have taken out a loan on the house or put the debt into their name, etc. Maybe that first paycheck, I'll ask them, 'Mom, hey, let's go out to dinner as a thank you.'" I didn't cross my mind, just in case you're wondering. Would be nice, but I throw it out there for the next generation. But it can be difficult, you know, when the money starts coming in, that you start wanting to consume it upon yourself. Right? That's the premise of this scripture. You have to be careful. As you begin to be successful, your career starts to take off, to make sure you keep those parameters within control. So reach for your potential. Reach for your full potential. Find your dream. Take advantage of your youth. Get wise counsel. Point four, realize that your passion and your livelihood may be on two different paths. And finally, count the cost. Make sure you count the cost. Reach for your potential within God's parameters, and young people, enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.